You're not defined by what's inside your head. You are what you do, your actions. Great thoughts speak only to the thoughtful mind, but great actions speak to all mankind. That's a quote by Theodore Roosevelt. Most of us let our internal condition weigh heavily on what we do. But the truly great performers are great precisely because they've learned to experience those feelings while sidestepping the inclination to act upon them. It's not that they never doubt themselves or never have a desire to procrastinate or avoid a particular situation. It's not that they always feel like doing what they should. They simply focus and lean in. They act anyway. It'd be great if we could simply decide to never have a negative thought, but when it comes down to it, that's just not realistic. I know, my positive thinking peeps are losing their minds at this statement, but here's something for even those people to consider. Haven't you wondered why you came up with positivity as an answer to your life in the first place? Have you ever noticed how you are when impacted or surrounded by apparently negative people or situations? That's right. Even you get gripped by the old negative hand now and again, no matter how you might try and avoid it. The truth is, it's difficult to have a say in, let alone control, what you think about. Especially because, as we've established elsewhere in this book, we're not even aware of the majority of things we think about. We have just as many pointless, irrelevant thoughts as important ones. Then there are those default thoughts that pop into your head day in and day out. Thoughts of unworthiness, being judged, not belonging, or some lack of competence. All of this while going to work, paying your bills, going to the grocery store, or driving your car. Many of the things I teach my clients involve changing the way you approach and look at life. But these are long-term solutions. Ultimately, my goal is to help you shift your subconscious. And that, my dears, is like turning a battleship. It takes time. No matter how hard you try, you're going to have the occasional negative thought, maybe more than occasionally, maybe every day, maybe hundreds of times per day. You're going to have days when you don't want to get out of bed, when you don't want to go to work, when you don't want to take care of your responsibilities. But you do. Every day, you engage in activities that you don't really want to do. That means you already have a muscle for having thoughts and acting independently of them. As I consistently say to my clients, you don't have to feel like today is your day. You just have to act like it is. Sure, it never hurts to be in the right kind of mood or mindset, but if we sit around waiting to be in the perfect mood, we're just never going to get started. I've come across literally thousands of people in my career who have spent their lives waiting to feel or think differently. And while inspiration or motivation may strike once in a while, they are fickle friends and can't be depended on to show up whenever you need them. We become just by performing just actions, temperate by performing temperate actions, brave by performing brave actions. That's a quote by Aristotle. You change your life by doing, not by thinking about doing. In fact, when you become closely associated with the actions you're taking, something magical starts to become apparent. Thoughts without actions are just that, thoughts. And your negative thoughts about yourself, others, or your circumstances will have no impact on your success as long as you leave them where they lie. How doing changes your thinking. The benefits of doing are twofold. Doing gets you doing what you need to do, of course. But it is, ironically, also the quickest way to change your thoughts. There are a couple of reasons for this. We know your thoughts can become your reality. And when your reality is one of acting on the things that are in your best interests, your thoughts will actually shift to match that. Think about this. Your thoughts and the resulting feelings are not always aligned with what is in the best interests of your life, your health, your finances, or your potential. Many times, those same thoughts and feelings are pulling you away from your potential. Things like doubt, fear, procrastination, or frustration rule the day instead of the kind of positive action that will actually forward your life. If you always attack the task at hand without hesitation, what will you think the next time you have something important to do? Your thoughts start to become intuitive action over time until you start to act independently of your negative thoughts time after time after time. Are you going to think about yourself and what you lack? Or are you going to deal with the actions presenting themselves right there in that moment of time? Haven't you ever noticed when you're fully immersed in something, all of your problems or negative conversations seem to disappear? When you are cognitively and genuinely engaged in a practice or project, that internal chatter gets quieter and quieter. The golfers, tennis players, meditators, knitters, musicians, artists, and runners among us know exactly what I'm talking about. Athletes call this the zone. And the good news is, you can get better at getting in the zone too. When you can focus your attention on the action at hand, eventually your consciousness starts to get the idea. Each time you do, you build your experience of self-confidence and trust in yourself. All of that impacts the long-term way in which you think. So what's the second way that actions influence our thoughts? Remember when I said your thoughts can become your reality? That's true. Well, your thoughts can become your reality. It's only through your actions that your thoughts actually become your life. Until then, they are only thoughts. Sometimes our mind is like the equivalent of a funhouse mirror, distorting and contorting and blurring our lives and our potential. Our minds often have an unrealistic perception of the world, peppered with interpretation, misunderstanding, automatic behaviors and opinions, and cultural and familial programming, all laid on top of our lives like designs on a giant sheet of tracing paper. The more we strive to get our reality to match this design, the more we struggle. The gap between how life is and how we think life is often the black hole in which we fruitlessly labor. We think things are worse or better, harder or easier than they actually are, due to this cacophony of background noise and judgment. Consider this. You just messed up something important. Immediately thoughts like, I'm so stupid, and I always screw things up, randomly pop into your head. All this means is that your reaction to one situation is out of sync with the whole. Just like when you whine, yes, you whine, about how impossible what you need to do is. Your brain starts to follow that line of thought all the way down the rabbit hole. Fortunately, by accepting and including your thoughts as just a small part of the whole and getting down to taking actions, you'll slowly start to realize just how out of touch you've been all along. This method is actually similar to one used by psychiatrists giving therapy to their patients. That's because it works. By challenging our thoughts with actions and exposing ourselves to the situations we resist, we train our brain to see the world more cognitively. We get accustomed to living life as is rather than how we think it is. The next time you're feeling or experiencing any sort of negative or diminishing thought that disempowers you, move on immediately. Act independently of that thought. More specifically, act in a way that's in your best interests, rather than in a way that is dominated by how you automatically think and feel. Each time will be better than the last until your mind wakes up and realizes, hey, I can do this, I'm learning. Action greases the wheel of life. Inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you want to conquer fear, do not sit home and think about it. Go out and get busy. That quote is by Dale Carnegie. I like what Dale says here. When we choose action instead of inaction, when we act beyond our automatic thoughts, something interesting happens. We start to forget about the things that are bothering us. Simply put, when we act, we just don't have time for anything else. It's hard to focus on your internal worrying and naysaying when you're busy getting things done. It's all about momentum. Once you've started rolling, it's easier to stay moving. That road that looked so long and intimidating before starts to blur as you speed across it. But you've got to put your key in the ignition, crank her up, and put it in drive first. The car isn't going to start itself and then wait patiently for you in the driveway. When you think about it, that's basically what most of us do. We want to be driven. We think a more productive mood will chauffeur us through life. A confident mood will make things easier or more doable. But if you want to get where you're going, you'll have to take the wheel. You have to buckle in and stomp hard on that gas pedal, whether you're ready to or not. Today, I want you to do something different than what you normally do. I want you to act in a way that's independent of your typical negative or unproductive thoughts. Act on the moment and in line with what the item in front of your face demands of you. Fuck how you feel. Act. Don't wait for the mood to strike. Don't get stuck looking for that magic feeling that will do the work for you. Simply act. Put aside your thoughts and move. It's not about psyching yourself up. It's not about getting everything aligned just right. Just act. Do it. Not in a minute. Not after the show is over. Now. Of course, your mind will always try to rationalize not acting. It'll remind you of all the other things you could be doing. It'll drudge up all your recent stresses and doubts. But don't act on your thoughts. Act on what's in front of you. Change your life by changing your actions. That's the only way. Still need more motivation? Think about the greatest people you know of, either personally or by reputation. Do you consider their thoughts? Or do you remember their actions? Do you think Gandhi or Rosa Parks or Abraham Lincoln were never gripped by thoughts of doubt, fear, or uncertainty? How about Nikola Tesla or Steve Jobs? Do you seriously think those people woke up every day in the perfect mood with everything's coming up roses playing in their heads? Hell no! They were racked by the same kind of shit you are, but they acted anyway. They rolled up whatever was in their way, set it aside, and strode out into the unknown. It wasn't a passive endeavor. Their greatness didn't just miraculously float out into the ether for us to consume. If they hadn't taken action, we'd have never known what their passions were in the first place. We'd never have witnessed their greatness or wisdom. They toiled, doubted, and had sleepless nights. They worried and battled and grounded out until their lives and their work finally aligned. I mean, come on! Chances are, you can think of plenty of people, past and present, who appear to have good thoughts, but never accomplished much. That's what we become when we are more worried about how we think than what we do. On the other hand, think of how many people with negative thoughts have gone on to become wildly successful. All the legendary musicians with drug problems. All the pro athletes with anger management issues. The models with unhealthy body images. The millionaires with scarcity mindsets. We could go on and on. The point is, positive thinking isn't a predictor of accomplishment any more than negative thinking indicates failure. All of the people described above acted independently of their internal condition. You can too. It's all about action. Going out there, doing it, and taking all your negative bullshit along for the ride. It's never going to get any better, any easier, or any more understandable. This is it. Life is now, and you're never going to have a better moment than this. Don't know what to do or where to start? Good. That's your first action. Find out. Understand. Troll the internet. Read books. Ask questions. Take courses. Seek advice. Do whatever you need to do to unfuck yourself and get into your life. Get up on your feet and get going. Benjamin Disraeli said, "Action may not bring happiness, but there is no happiness without action." Separating your thoughts from who you are. I am not my thoughts. I am what I do. That's your newest personal assertion. The phrase that sums it all up. Go ahead. Try it out. I am not my thoughts. I am what I do. You are not your thoughts. They're just a bunch of random things running through your head. Many of them you have no control over. Eventually, we'd all like to have better, more positive thoughts, but sitting there isn't going to make it happen. It's when we challenge our bodies and minds, when we experience, when we face our fears, when we accomplish, even when we fail, that we truly change who we are. You could be the smartest person in the world, but that doesn't mean a thing if you don't take action. Remember that the next time you're not feeling it, when you're not in the mood to go to work or take a significant step in life, when you're doubting yourself too much to get started, forget all of it. Just take that first step and the next one and the next one. You are not your thoughts. Act. You are what you do. Chapter 7. I am relentless. Think back to some of your biggest successes in life. Maybe you made a really big sale, started a new business, or bought a house. Maybe you got married to the love of your life, or went back to school or completed a marathon. It could be anything you're truly proud of. How the hell did you achieve it? Well, you probably weren't sitting on the couch pondering your navel. Chances are you weren't wrapped up in the humdrum of your everyday existence either, or mentally calculating the sharp rise in the price of milk since 1977. So what was it? I may not be able to guess exactly what you were doing, but I can be certain of one thing. You were uncomfortable. Put a slightly different way, you were most likely operating outside of your comfort zone. From the nervousness and doubt we feel when we take risks in our careers, to the muscle soreness and shortness of breath we experience pumping out another 5 minutes on the treadmill, our biggest successes are born out of discomfort, uncertainty, and risk. Theodore Roosevelt said, "Nothing in the world is worth having or worth doing unless it means effort, pain, difficulty." In fact, the greater the degree of discomfort you experience, the greater the difficulty, the greater the sense of personal accomplishment that comes after. And that's why great accomplishments and extraordinary successes are so rare. Because most people don't like being uncomfortable. Being relentless. Anytime you're working to achieve something, you're going against the current. Often the opinions of the people around you are trying to push and pull you away from your destination. They'll say you can't do it, you're making a mistake, it's impossible, you'll fail. The more unique and out-of-the-box your endeavor is, the stronger the pushback can be. Why? Well, mostly because the other people in your life have gotten used to relating to you as a specific kind of person. So any time you attempt to break out of that mold, you're not only messing with your own world, you're also messing with theirs. And the resistance doesn't just come from other people. It comes from your own mind too. Both your conscious and subconscious thoughts can work against you to stop your dreams right in their tracks. It could be outright negative. That's impossible. Why even try? Or it could be subtler. Wouldn't it be a lot better to just sleep in instead of getting an early jump on things at the office? That game on your phone is so much more fun than working. You could overcome these distractions and objections, of course, as we discussed in the last chapter. But there sometimes comes a point on your journey when you sometimes lose track of where you are. You become so locked up in the daily humdrum that you've completely wandered off the path and into the middle of the fucking jungle, and are now meandering around with no map, no water, and no clue. Are you going in the right direction? How long until you get there? How much more of this can you take? Maybe it's over here. No, wait, maybe it's this way. And when you inevitably stumble or encounter some sort of obstacle, you question the journey at all. Maybe it's even time to turn back. At this point, when you don't know whether you're up or down, how far you have to go, or how far you've come, there's only one thing that can keep you going. That thing is relentlessness. The momentum to keep moving and moving and moving no matter what happens. It doesn't matter if we are feeling it. It doesn't matter if we are gripped by doubt and worry. Here's the deal. True relentlessness comes when the only thing you have left is relentlessness. When it seems all is lost and all hope and evidence for success have long since vanished, relentlessness is the fuel that drives you through. It's only true if you agree. The most successful among us got to where they are today because they transcended obstacles. But that's easier said than done. It's one thing to say, never give up. I fucking hate bumper sticker slogans. But quite another to actually put relentlessness into your life's most worthy causes. Listen, when it comes down to it, the world doesn't stop you from succeeding. You're not that big of a deal. The universe is conspiring neither for nor against you. And the only thing that stops you is when you buy into the notion that you are stopped. Then, my friend, you really are stopped. Until then, it's on like freaking Donkey Kong. It is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. That was said by Aristotle. Think about all of the things that have been accomplished in human history that were once considered impossible. If you told someone from the 1850s that you could fly from California to China in a hollow metal tube filled with hundreds of people, they'd have more than likely sent you to the local insane asylum for the rest of your days. But the Wright brothers didn't accept that flight was impossible. They simply didn't accept that thought, even though there was no historical evidence to prove that human flight was possible. Even though they had no physical proof, and it had never been done before, they were determined to make it happen, and they were relentless in its pursuit. Now compare that to your own problems. If you're like most people, your goals probably aren't nearly as ambitious as inventing the first airplane. You probably just want to make more money, face your fears, find your soulmate, lose some weight, or strike a blow for a better life. Things that have been done millions of times before and will be done again and again in the future by people just as capable as you. These goals are possible. However, don't be fooled by the self-help bullshit that tells you you deserve it, because you don't. No one does. That conversation will leave you waiting and wanting and eventually a complete victim to your own life. Sometimes you just have to grind it out, stake your claim, and hustle for what you want. You will need to quite literally make it happen. So when someone looks at you and says, you'll never make $1 million, or your brain is telling you it's impossible for you to lose 100 pounds, you have two choices. You can succumb to the notion that you don't know what you're doing, that you lack the resources, that you don't have what it takes, or that you or your life needs to be fixed before you can do those things, and then you can quit. Or you can disagree. You can absolutely refuse to accept it and reach for your greatness. You can say, no, you're wrong, and I'm going to prove it. The impossible only becomes possible in the moment you believe it is. The famous football coach Vince Lombardi said, we would accomplish more things if we did not think of them as impossible. Here's the crazy thing. You can never really prove what's possible or impossible. You could throw yourself at something 1,000 times, failing miserably on every attempt, and yet succeed on attempt number 1,001. The truth is, you can never really know. We never really have all the facts. As human beings, we still only understand a tiny fraction of our own minds, let alone the world, or the oceans, or space, or technology. If someone tells you that they have all the answers, call them out on that bullshit. The truth is, they're winging it just like you, just like everyone else. Answers? Give me a freaking break. So if we can't even say for certain that it's impossible to put a man on Mars, how can any of us know what we're really capable of in the day-to-day living of our lives? They can't. The only question is whether you agree with what you can and cannot do. An opinion only becomes true when you accept it and stop acting on your potential. My own life is an example of what's possible when you live life beyond your own beliefs and the views of others. I was a pretty average high school student, but I've gone on to travel the world and coach thousands and thousands of people. I've guided doctors, lawyers, politicians, actors, celebrities, athletes, CEOs, hell, I've even coached Catholic priests in Ireland and Buddhist monks in Thailand. There's a wondrous, magical life out there waiting for you in the unknown. And while it's not all cherry pies and bubblegum, there is a reality that you can accomplish that's far beyond the one you're currently wasting away in. Blazing the relentless trail. To see this idea of relentlessness in action, let's look at a major success story that you and I are likely to be familiar with. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold was born to relatively poor parents in a small town in Austria, just a couple of years after the end of World War II. Yet young Arnold dreamt of going to America and acting in movies. What do you think his parents thought of that dream? What do you think his fellow Austrian townsfolk told him about his ambitions or whispered behind his back? Remember, we're not talking about today, where we have television and internet and smartphones and anyone with a wireless connection can become a celebrity. Back then, most households didn't even have a TV. America was a nebulous, fantastical concept for Arnold and the people he grew up with, a place they had only seen in pictures or movies. So you can pretty much guarantee that everyone he knew thought there was no chance he'd ever realize his dream, and if he had accepted that at any point, their words would have come true. If he had agreed that he wouldn't become a world-famous bodybuilder, it would have been true. If he had agreed that he couldn't move to America, he wouldn't have. If he had accepted that he'd never make it into movies, or he'd never be a star actor, or he couldn't become governor, he would have quit. but he never agreed with what the world or other people told him about what was and wasn't possible. He was relentless. He spent hours in the gym every day pushing his body. He practiced his bodybuilding poses. He read books. He learned business. He auditioned for movie roles. Relentlessly. Giving up or changing plans simply wasn't an option. And if you look at his path, you can learn something valuable about relentlessness. Sometimes it's all you have. Before Arnold, no Austrian bodybuilder had ever gone on to become an A-list action star in the United States, let alone be elected governor of California. You can be sure he spent a good part of his life and career not really knowing where he was going. There aren't any road signs when you're trekking through uncharted territory. It's all discovery and exploration. You are blazing a trail, not following one. When you find yourself in that situation, all you can do is focus on and deal with what's directly in front of you. You just put one foot in front of the other, taking things on as they present themselves. Even Arnold, who had a big, grand vision, ultimately achieved it by taking one step at a time. He'd go to the gym and start working on his biceps. He'd focus on each movement, each rise and fall of the dumbbell, rep after rep after rep, feeling his muscles flex and tear and grow. Then when he was done with biceps, he'd move on to shoulders, and then back, and then glutes, and then quads, and then calves. As he worked each respective muscle group, he gave it his full attention, and then it was on to the next one, moment by moment by moment. When he had worked each muscle, each body part to exhaustion, he went home. But there he was the next day, doing it all over again, relentlessly. Look more recently at people like Malala Yousafzai, who stands for the rights of women and children in Afghanistan, or Michael Phelps and his record-breaking athletic accomplishments, or Jessica Cox, born without arms and currently flying commercial airlines. Are you getting the picture here? The key to becoming relentless is to focus on the problem in front of you. Give it your full attention. Become someone who progresses even when all seems lost. The answer is always out there. All you need to do is find it. Then you can move forward to your next obstacle. And you give that obstacle your full attention until it's taken care of. And then there's the next, and the next, and the next. By doing this, you never have to wonder where you're going. You're not worried about how many miles you've left to walk. You've become someone who loves obstacles rather than avoids them, because obstacles are your keys to success and growth. You simply take one step at a time. And if you come upon something that's blocking your path, you find a way to get over it or get around it. Then you keep walking. Relentlessness doesn't mean charging into the fray, head first, swinging and flailing your arms every which way. It's focused, determined action, again and again and again. You're not bashing your fist against a brick wall until it's bloody and bruised. You're using your hammer and chisel to slowly, methodically chip away, piece by piece, until eventually there's a hole. And then the hole gets bigger and bigger, and before you know it, you're like Alice, stepping through the looking glass into a whole new world. You are relentless. When you're not sure if you're following the right path, when you've been knocked down a few too many times, it's completely fine to get discouraged, hell, even defeated. What's not okay is to stop. Because you can always lean on relentlessness. When you have nothing else, you have relentlessness. Rather than worrying about whether you should keep going or turn back, press in relentlessly. Relentlessness has one direction, and that's forward. It only has one option, and that's to keep the momentum going. There's no giving up. There's no quitting. There's no changing of plans. Relentless is the bodybuilder who goes to the gym for hours every day. Relentless is a prospective entrepreneur who has been ridiculed or rejected for their completely original idea but keeps pitching it anyway. Relentless is the overweight mom who feels like she's never going to get there. Relentless is the newly minted college graduate at the bottom of the corporate ladder, barely making enough to pay her rent, and yet staying at the office later than anyone else just to learn as much as she can. Relentless is you. Anyone who's ever gone to the gym knows that the results aren't immediate. You don't spend 30 minutes on the treadmill and look like a new person. But that doesn't mean what you're doing isn't working. You're making progress with each exercise, each step, each movement, each action. You get a little better, a little closer. Until one day you look in the mirror and think, wow. It's the same thing with your business or your health or your career or your relationships. Even when you don't see anything happening, it is. Even when you're not quite hitting the mark, you're making progress. Until one day you look at your bank balance or your new job or your children or your new house and think, wow, and that's why you have to keep going. Relentlessly. Because when you're trekking through the jungle, you don't know if you're 3 days from civilization or 30 minutes. All you can do is walk. The only way out is forward. Sit up, straighten your spine, and repeat after me. I am relentless. Chapter 8. I expect nothing and accept everything. Firstly, do not be deceived by the title of this chapter. There is something truly amazing for you to discover in the following pages. Imagine this. You've always dreamed of starting your own business, being your own boss, controlling your own schedule, and really building something you can be proud of, something you can point to as a major life accomplishment. Through a combination of hard work, determination, and solid planning, you've managed to organize your life in such a way that this dream of yours can now become a reality. You've already come up with a great business idea, hired a company to create a cool logo and branding, and now it's time to get to work. Here's where the fun begins. You'll need a store, of course, and that's the first task you tackle, spending the next week driving around town, scouting locations, and negotiating with real estate agents. It's not easy, but you finally find what you think is a pretty good location for a pretty good price. There was another place you really had your eye on, but you couldn't make it work within the budget. There are a few other things to get taken care of, like property insurance, a business license, and setting up your taxes. Even though you've yet to make a dollar, you've already had to hire an accountant to help you sort through those complicated business taxes. Oh well, on to your next project. Your store will need furniture and other necessary equipment, so you shop around to get a right on that. Another thing off the checklist. Obviously, you'll need someone to work there too. Time to hire some employees. Check. It's all going pretty well. Until, boom, that deal you had fought for and ground out to secure the unique product you were planning to sell fell through. And now you have to look for alternatives. Shit. Your heart sinks and breathing shallows as you frantically search out wholesalers, importers, manufacturers, anyone who can help, and start asking for quotes. The only problem is the new prices you're being quoted are way beyond your pricing model. How can you make this thing work? You tirelessly continue searching but keep coming up zero after zero after zero. This is fast becoming a disaster. You've already invested massive amounts of time and resources into this, and now you've hit a big fat roadblock. You're realizing now that you should have seen this coming. This is business. Stuff is bound to go wrong. The cascading stream of doubt and second-guessing washes through your brain with a heavy rinse cycle of reality. Damn it, this was going too smoothly. I just knew something like this would happen. This feeling builds and grows until it starts to pull you under. Setting up a business means risking everything you've ever worked for. Is it even worth it? You've got bills, for the love of God. Now that you really think about it, you've spent more time working on this project than you did at your last job. A lot more. I mean, come on, it's been day and night with hardly a breath. You have less control of your time than you ever did before. Your every thought, second, and dollar has been geared towards this thing. Why did you ever think it was better to work for yourself? This isn't what you signed up for, is it? Maybe this whole thing was a mistake. You're starting to feel a little darker and more depressed while you start to confront the gut-churning possibility that you might lose all that investment and wind up having to crawl back to your old boss and ask if you can return to your old job. Whoa! Easy, Tiger! Before we get ahead of ourselves, let's take a step back. Expecting the expected. What's really going on here? It's simple. You, like everyone else, are weighed down by expectation. I'm not talking about the usual kind of everyday expectations you're aware of. It's also not like we're literally saying to ourselves, I expect this, or I expected that, in a conscious way. It's something that's happening just below the surface, where you'll only see it if you take the time to look closely. No, I'm talking about the ugly, undermining, hidden and treacherous expectations that dwell in the wings and under the stage of your Broadway blockbuster. The kind of expectations you didn't even know you had until they came out of nowhere and blindsided you and sucked the air from your lungs. When you and I take on a life-changing project, we prepare for it from what we know. That includes items from our own experience, what we've read, heard, and imagined. We start to picture it in our minds. We research, we ask others for their opinions, and consume reams of information. We begin to assemble an idea of what this will look like and how we're going to get there. That image in our heads becomes the template from which we will work and plan. What we don't see is that we're also setting up a world of hidden expectations. The cracks and crevices hidden in the foundation of our best laid plans that can kill off a potential idea before it really gets going. In our business example, our budding entrepreneur didn't expect to lose his deal for product. And while losing that deal was bad enough, the interruption to his expectation was actually the biggest blow to his aspirations. How do you know if you have hidden expectations in your life? If you have places in your life where you experience disappointment, resentment, regret, suppression, anger, lethargy, essentially anywhere you are deflated or have some loss of your personal chutzpah or any other suppressive emotion, you have these expectations. Any place where you're just not yourself. If you look at these places long enough, you'll see the reality of that area of your life is in some way short of the scenario you had anticipated in your mind's eye. If you have upset in your marriage, you'll see a gap between your expectations of how it was supposed to be and how it in fact is. For others, it might be your finances, your weight loss, new job, etc. Your powerlessness is directly correlated to the gap between your hidden expectations and your reality. The greater the gap, the worse you'll actually feel. I read somewhere that the root cause of upset in marriage is unmet expectation. I think it goes out further, much further. I say the problem is expectation itself, I contend that the upsets strewn throughout your entire life are a product of thousands of unspoken or unrecognized expectations that cast a giant shadow across your life experience, causing great stress when you're trying to make life fit with your expectations, and great disappointment when life doesn't match up to them. Here's what else they do. They actually get in the way of our real lives, our real issues, and items that require attention. They're like a mirage that diverts us from our genuine power and clouds our ability to take pronounced, decisive action. In short, you end up working on your expectations and having life line up with them rather than taking the actions that would positively impact your situation. This sidetracking draws your power away from what's actually going to improve your life or accomplish your goal, down a pathway of no power, no results, and wasted time. Cutting out the middleman of expectation. Now that we have busted our problems with expectations wide open, you'll start to realize something. And that's that many of the difficulties and complications in your life are the direct result of expectations that you have or have had. We have been using an example of a business plan gone wrong, but in your own life, your failed relationships, dissatisfaction with work, and abandoned diets can be traced right back to expectation. How many times have you said to yourself, "This isn't how I thought it would be"? What about the last time you were angry with someone? Can you remember it? Take a moment to examine that situation, and you'll soon realize that your anger was a product of expectations. The gap between how it is and how it should have been. You harbor an unspoken expectation that people in your life will be agreeable. You expect them to tell the truth and follow through on any agreements you have with them. Expect, expect, expect. And when they don't match those expectations, oh boy. That's all great and good, Mr. Scottish Man, but how in the hell do I uncover my hidden expectations? Easy. Pick an area of your life in which things aren't going as well as you'd like them to. Maybe even somewhere in your life that sucks right now. Take a pen and a piece of paper and write out how that area was supposed to turn out. How had you planned it? How should have this gone? You might have to use your imagination and sense of wonder to get in touch with how the future looked from back there. Get in touch with the hope and positivity of that area and where it was supposed to head. Describe it in as much detail as you can possibly recall. Next, on a separate piece of paper, write down how this area actually looks. Again, make this an exhaustive description, not just "it sucks". Get into detail about why it is the way it is and what you now have to deal with. How do you feel now that this part of your life did not meet your expectations? Now look at both pieces of paper side by side. Your pain, anguish, disappointment, or whatever your thing is greater in the areas where the gap is widest between what you expected and what you actually have. In there are your hidden expectations. Do the work here until you fully uncover the expectations you had inadvertently set yourself up for. Good. Now look again. In what way does how you feel about this make a difference to your reality? Does it make it any better? Does it solve your issue? Hell no. It makes no positive difference whatso-freaking-ever. It even makes it worse. Your problems don't derail you. Your hidden expectations do. The point here is that the expectation of how life should be doesn't do you any good. You're actually more winded by the whack your expectations took than the situation itself. And that's the deal with expectations. They blow things out of proportion and dilute your power to deal with issues effectively and powerfully. Listen, it's not like I'm saying something radically new here. The notion of letting go of expectations has been around for thousands of years, although in our culture, that of the West, it's a practice very few engage in. Here's the coaching. Cut it out. Let go of those expectations. Now. It's much more powerful to come to terms with life's unpredictability and to engage with your circumstances for what they actually are than get bogged down by your refusal to let go of unnecessary or unproductive expectations. The world revolves around change, birth and death, growth and destruction, rise and fall, summer and winter. It's never the same from one day to another, no matter how much it might seem that it is. Heraclitus said, "No man ever steps in the same river twice." Our minds would love to predict and plan for everything that's going to happen, but it's simply not possible. And these expectations not only have a negative effect on our emotional state, they actually leave us less powerful than we really could be. It's so much more effective to simply take things as they present themselves, to live in the moment, like there's another moment you could live in, and solve issues and items as they arise, than to constantly expect. It's not that I'm anti-planning, I most certainly am not, but the stone-cold attachment to the plan and all the expectation therein is a little like falling out of a rowboat and continuing to row even though you have no oars and no boat under you anymore. Your plan and image of how this should have gone is no longer relevant, but you still struggle to reconcile the space between your expectations and reality. Life can be like that at times. On some occasions, you have to realize that the game has changed, sometimes dramatically so, and you need to pivot, deal with your reality, wake up, you're in the water, stop waving your arms about and paddle to shore, damn it. Life is more of a dance than a march. Our mind has all kinds of automatic thought processes that we don't even know are going on. Expectations are just one of them, albeit an important one. Here's the harsh truth about how our brain works. We all like to believe in something called free will. It's one of those concepts that really speaks to who we are as human beings. I mean, let's be honest. If we don't have free will, what in the hell do we have? We value the notion that we freely choose what we do and when to do it. We want to feel that we control our own fate and shape our own destiny. But when our minds are ruled by these automatic thought processes, do we really have free will? Many would argue that we don't. Listen, here's how much free will you have. Stop doing all that shit you know you shouldn't be doing and start doing all the shit you know you should be doing. All of it. This free will stuff isn't so easy now, is it? No man is free who is not master of himself. That was said by Epictetus. Because as we have talked about throughout this book, even when you feel yourself making a conscious decision, there are a series of unconscious thought processes that are driving that choice. Things you don't even see or acknowledge. People are much more irrational and illogical than we realize. In many cases, our subconscious is the puppet master that truly pulls the strings. Fortunately, you can take back your freedom to choose, and that's by understanding how your mind works, seeing what it's doing as it does it, and being able to use that information to cognitively choose something else, to make conscious that which is currently unconscious. Expectations are just one of these things. When life is appropriate, I expect nothing and accept everything. This is your final personal assertion. Let me get clear about this one. This is not some meek, weak submission to life. No, this is the statement of a masterful celebrant of success, someone who cannot be dominated by anyone or anything. When you expect nothing, you're living in the moment. You're not worrying about the future or rejecting the past. You're simply embracing your situation as it comes. When you accept everything, that doesn't mean you're okay with it or that you agree with it, but simply that you're owning it and in charge of it. Remember, you can always change something when you can take ownership and responsibility for it. Sometimes it's the single most effective way of resolving your stuff. Own it. Here's what Epictetus had to say. Don't seek to have events happen as you wish, but wish them to happen as they do happen, and all will be well with you. The next time you catch yourself getting brought down by your expectations, shift things in a different direction. Instead of getting your knickers in a twist about how things didn't turn out the way you wanted or expected them to, simply accept them for what they are. In that moment, you're now freed up to deal with them. This is appropriate. When you're having growing pains at your new job, take a step back and realize how appropriate that really is. Of course a new job is going to take some getting used to. Whether it's the tasks you're performing or the people you work with, it's therefore entirely appropriate to make a few mistakes or tread carefully as you try to get to know your new colleagues. The expectations dissolve right there, immediately. If your relationship is struggling, change your perspective and get the whole picture. What are your expectations? Many of us expect our partners to be a certain way consistently, or to anticipate our needs and know exactly what we're feeling as if by magic. But your partner, like you, is an imperfect human with his or her own set of complicated emotions and thoughts. So it's appropriate that they may sometimes be distracted or get short with you after a bad day. We often expect other people to treat us exactly as we treat them. If we do them a favor, we expect to get the same favor back in return. It becomes an unspoken debt of sorts. When we give our partner a foot massage, we expect them to reciprocate, either directly or indirectly. Those expectations grow in both weight and complexity in an intimate or romantic relationship. You won't believe how much your interactions with other people will improve the moment you let go of expecting, the instant you learn to accept things as they happen. Again, this doesn't mean you need to put up with shitty or abusive relationships. But the only thing more unpredictable than one person is two unpredictable people. If you are in one of those kinds of relationships, it's time for you to invoke the boat analogy. Stop rowing. The game has changed. Shift your plan. Your partners, friends, and family members all have their own desires, perceptions, and feelings. While you're thinking one thing, they're more than likely thinking something completely different. That thing that's got you feeling pissed may not have even registered on their radar. They could be completely oblivious to what's going on with you. Instead of silently expecting something and feeling slighted when it doesn't happen, let go of that expectation. If there's something you want, how about asking for it with no expectation? And when you do something positive or generous, do it because you genuinely want to, rather than loading in the added weight of what you expect in return. That game of tit for tat only hurts you both in the long run. If it's something serious that consistently challenges the relationship, confront the other party about it. Don't expect them to realize how you feel, or, by the same token, expect them to be able to change how you feel. They can't. Only you can do that. People are always going to lie, steal, cheat, and everything else one can imagine. It's just not connected to reality to live in the expectation that they somehow won't and then throw a hissy fit when they do it anyway. Remember, in those cases, you always end up worse off than they do.